Hey guys, and welcome back to Culture Boys, a show where two guys just want to have a chat. I'm Nathan, and as always, I'm joined by Pepe. And this week, we are actually talking about something that came up during the Game Awards. We're talking about reviving old franchises.
Mm-hmm.
How you doing, Peps?
I'm very good. Yeah, I think we've talked about like what games we'd love to bring back, but it hasn't been to this amount of detail. Like,
yes,
with the revival of all those Sega games that are coming back, like stuff like Crazy Taxi and like a bunch of these others, it got us thinking, like, what dead game franchises do we want to see back, like just a return?
Yeah,
everyone has like a favorite video game which is like, oh, this is so good on this console, but there hasn't been a follow-up. Where's a follow-up? And it's like, that let's discuss which ones we'd love to see.
That's what we're talking about. Because last time we ever did something like this, it was Dream Sequels more than a revival.
Yes, it was, yeah.
So we were specifically just, you know, oh, we'd love a new whatever numbered installment for this.
Mm, yeah.
But this time round, literally off of Sega coming back strong with that trailer from the Game Awards and basically saying over the next 5 years, you're going to see this. And they announced Jet Set Radio is coming back, Crazy Taxi is coming back, Shinobi is coming back, Streets of Rage is coming back, and Golden Axe is coming back.
Mm.
Now, these are like really big Sega franchises.
Mm.
The reason I wanted to do this with Pepe was because it's like, these aren't just sequels. These are proper like revivals. These are like reboots each series. So I was kind of, it just sort of conjured the thought of like, well, what do we expect from these new revivals?
Yeah.
But also like, what else could be coming? Because Sega also did say this is a big project for us. Like, we are working to bring back some of our older franchises. And it just sort of got the cogs turning of like, well, what else in the history of games do I want to come back?
I think in terms of like Sega games we want to come back, I think any like long-term listeners know the fact that me and Nathan are massive fans of this one series, so we're gonna try and get this out the way now before it gets too long.
wait,
yeah, go on.
I was gonna say, maybe we should talk about the ones that were announced,
yeah,
before we get into the other ones.
That's fine. Yeah, okay. I just felt like when it comes down to Sega games,
I know
everyone knows what the fuck we're going to be talking about at some point.
It's definitely on there.
Yeah, it's on there, yeah.
It's on there, all right? There's no way it wouldn't be on there.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Before we jump ahead then, let's go through the ones that are currently coming out. By the way, out of all of these that are on the list right now that have been announced by Sega, I've actually only played one of them, which is Crazy Taxi.
Okay.
And I am a massive fan of Crazy Taxi. That is like it's basically, well, I funny enough, my first experience with Crazy Taxi wasn't even in Crazy Taxi. It was basically Simpsons Road Rage.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which is basically the exact same game, just with a Simpsons skin. So, like, obviously that comes out on the PS2 or whatever, and I'm like, oh, this is cool. And then eventually I find out, oh, okay, there's, like, I forgot, it must have been years down the line, Crazy Taxi's a thing. I'll be like, okay, I'll play this. And I'm like, it's exactly the same as Simpsons Road Rage, except I could actually get it on newer consoles. So it was like, yeah.
So I've played all of these.
Yeah.
In some capacity.
Yeah.
Crazy Taxi. Yeah, I mean, like, Crazy Taxi is a classic. You've been to the arcade, you've played I don't even know. Crazy Taxi's been on everything.
Oh, it is, yeah. It's like,
at least from back in the day. Like, I remember, I think the first time I played it was on a Dreamcast.
Yeah, because that's a, yeah, that would have been the first iteration of it, was it?
Dreamcast, and then, yeah, I've played it in the arcades a bunch of times.
I played it on the, I don't know if you remember, there's an Xbox 360 Dreamcast collection.
Yeah.
That's like how I properly experienced it. Like, that was a freaking sick collection as well.
I think I played it, I played it on so many things. But Crazy Taxi, I'm really happy it's coming back.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly from the trailer, I think they've added police chases to it.
Yes, they have. They've added a whole bunch of new things to it. So it's not just, oh, we're just reviving the series and it's the exact same game. No, they are actually adding things into it. Like you said, the police chases, and I'm sure there's like different things going on as well. So
yeah, there's probably a bunch of maps and there's probably other things, but like,
they'll flesh out a bit more, 100%.
I like kind of want to know how Sega came up with this list though.
Yeah.
You know, like, because Sega's got loads of franchises. And again, on the later list, there are quite a few other Sega franchises. But like, to come up with these five specifically, I'm not complaining, but you know.
Well, I don't know if you remember this ages ago, Nathan. There was, I think you sent me the article actually, which was Sega wants you to tell them what your favorite Sega franchises are.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Ages and ages ago, weren't it?
Yeah.
So I reckon this is probably like a long-term plan that Sega have been working on for a while and be like, okay, what games do people want from our company? Obviously, you got the Yakuza and Sonic games right now, which are obviously some biggest, their biggest IPs.
Yeah.
But what is something that other people want right now? I think when we saw this, we were both like, oh, I want Outrun. That's the only thing that we went for.
Yeah.
But like, obviously, there's a whole bunch of these. Obviously, like, freaking Jet Set Radio is a massive draw for people.
Yeah.
I know people that go crazy over that game. I don't play it myself, but I know people love that game.
I'm not good at it, but even when I saw the announcement, I was like, yo, Jet Set Radio's coming back.
And like Streets of Rage as well, that's like a huge one. Like,
that one's interesting though, because there was a Streets of Rage 4.
That's what I thought. This is the one thing that I was kind of confused about. Is like, are they just like remaking the first one or something? Or are they actually like kind of...
Well, this Streets of Rage is like 3D.
Yeah.
So like the one Sega's making, at least from the trailer, it was 3D.
Because
Streets of Rage 4, I think Sega just published it. They didn't...
Oh, okay, yeah.
I can't remember, like, but they didn't make it.
Okay. Yeah, because I thought it was something like that, because it seems like a bit weird to like...
And Streets of Rage 4 was really good, but like, this is interesting though. Like, I don't know if it's still just going to be like, you know, you're like 2.5D, like side scroll and beat 'em up, and you just happen to also have 3D models, or if it is actually fully like, no, this is it. It's like a sandbox kind of thing. You know, like almost like the, I know it's not Sega, but almost like the Street Fighter 6 like campaign, like solo campaign where you're like running around.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
And maybe you don't just run up and challenge the people. Maybe it's still sort of beat 'em up, so they're, you know, you're actively going through the environment and people are coming up to fight you naturally. But I don't know. I'm excited either way. I'm a huge Streets of Rage fan. I hope the music is just as good though. Streets of Rage music was always a banger.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I wouldn't be able to tell you anything about Streets. Again, I haven't actually played it, but I just know like that list, right? I know Jet Set Radio and Streets of Rage are two of like some of the biggest draws. Crazy Taxi is massive as well.
Well, I mean, Shinobi.
Right, Shinobi is like, when was the last Shinobi game that came out?
I think 3DS.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah, it was, because is this the same one there as like the PS3 ones as well? Is there a PS3 Shinobi? Am I making it up?
No, PS2.
No, I'll tell you what I'm thinking. I'm thinking Ninja Gaiden.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, yeah, Shinobi 3DS, yeah.
There was there was 3D Shinobi, there was two of them. Well, technically three of them on the PS2, because it was Shinobi, Shinobi 2, and then it was Kunoichi.
Yeah.
But that was all in the same universe. And those were really cool. But the last Shinobi game that I know of was on the 3DS, and I think it was close to a launch title. I had it.
That was very close. I know the exact one you're talking about, because that would have been 2011 as well.
It was typical Shinobi, like back from the original ones. It was difficult. A 2D platformer.
Yeah.
It was hard. Very, very hard.
Yeah.
This also, from what I remember from the trailer, also looks like it might be that sort of like 3D graphics, but 2D platformer again.
Mm.
So I don't know how Shinobi is evolving in a sense.
Yeah. It'd be interesting to see what that...
But, I mean, Shinobi's like one of their OG series.
You know for a fact that with each of these games that they're reviving, like, they're not... Like, they'll add, like, some new mechanic into this to make it a bit more different. You know for a fact they'll throw some stuff in there.
Yeah, yeah.
And whether it's going to be good or it could be game-breaking, who the frick knows? That's one thing. There's a lot of good hype behind it. Golden Axe. Right.
Yeah.
Again, a game I actually don't know what the hell got. With all of these, I can tell you what like the concept is for them.
Uh-huh.
Golden Axe, I actually have no clue. I know Golden Axe is a game, but no clue what kind of game it is.
Golden Axe was another one of Sega's like 2D side-scrolling beat-em-ups, but that one was fantasy-based.
I see. Okay, yeah.
You had a little like gnome guy with an axe. You had your typical warriors. Yeah, this one is also, again, from what I remember from the trailer, they're going to do in a 3D style.
Yeah.
Think similar to how they're going to do Streets of Rage. But I'm wondering, with Golden Axe, if you're going to do that, and because of the fantasy setting, you could add RPG elements to it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd imagine they're probably going to do that.
Yeah. like, you gotta make it so you gotta make it somewhat different from Streets of Rage at that point. Like, what are you doing to set these things apart? Yeah.
From what I remember of the trailer, though, both of them look kind of grey and dark.
Okay.
But as a fan of both of these series, especially Streets of Rage, the pixel art was like very vibrant.
Okay.
And colorful. So.
Yeah, I mean, that's if they're going for something like, for example, the last game that was released for Streets of Rage 4.
Yeah.
That, like, even when you look at a cover of that, that is like a very vibrant cover for a game. So I can imagine, like, it's that kind of thing where if you want to keep in line, like, keep some of those aspects covered over. Yeah.
There's a visual style, and I kind of hope that Streets of Rage keeps that.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, like, in Streets of Rage, I'm pretty sure you were technically cops, but you were, like, for some reason, walking the streets and beating up the perps.
Yeah, it just goes straight into the, the violence. Okay, fair.
I would like to think, again, because who knows how far along each game actually is in production. So I would like to think what we saw of the footage is maybe not indicative of the final product.
Yeah, it's also, I'm curious at how much they're going to be charging for these as well, because, for example, Crazy Taxi, an amazing game, but, like, it is, unless they're putting, like, some story mode or, like, some, like, kind of different mode in there, I don't understand, like, it's going to be an arcade game at the end of the day, and if you're charging 40 quid for an arcade game,
yeah,
even possibly more, given the prices of PS5 games these days and Xbox, like, Xbox Series X games, how much are you going to be charging for these? Is it going to be, and how big are these games? It's still very much up in the air with that, but
that's the other big problem. I think for me, Jet Set Radio is like maybe the only game that arguably could command a modern price.
Yeah.
Whereas like Streets of Rage was and Golden Axe, where they're like beat 'em ups, if there's not enough evolution, there's only so much replayability. And like the length can only be whatever, right? So it depends on the size of these games as well. But like if Crazy Taxi, Streets of Rage, Golden Axe, Shinobi come out and they're like £50.
Yeah.
But all of them, like Crazy Taxi is really only like a, let's say, a 10-hour experience.
Yeah.
You're not going to want to pay 50 quid for that.
Nah, you won't. Let's say Streets
of Rage comes out and it's, you know, for a beat 'em up kind of game, it's like fairly long, but it's still only like a, I don't know, 15 to 20 hour experience with very little replayability for whatever reason. You're not going to want to pay 50 quid for that.
Nah, I think the way they've announced all of these together makes me feel like they'll make some kind of like collection-y kind of thing with them. Like, not like in one game, but like in the fact that this is, like, you know, like a brand.
I don't know, because they said you'll be seeing these over the next 5 years. So I think they are releasing separately.
Oh, 100% they're releasing separately. But I think, you know, like where like they have like an overarching title of these things, sort of things, like the Sega Classics Collection or something like that. And then it's like,
maybe.
Is this. And then I like to think of it like a way like Nintendo does things in terms of like a Nintendo Selects thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Where it's like there's like a small border around the game, and it's like, oh, this is the cheaper version of it because it's like one of our selected things. I reckon if there's like a if it all comes under an umbrella of these are the Sega Classics and they're cheaper, they're not full games, but you'll get like pay 25 quid for it or something like that, and it's a modern game. Like I can kind of see that being a thing, maybe. I don't know.
I mean, I could see that, but at the same time, I don't think they will, because like, they're banking big on these like nostalgia bombs, you know.
But that's the one thing. It's like it all comes down to at the end of the day, how big are these games? And that's the one thing. If they're actually full, like literally, you could get hours and hours and hours of playtime out of them, and like it's like that, then I'd be like, okay, cool, yeah, charge however much you want for it or whatever. And
well, also, if you believe the hype of everyone from the internet for certain franchises, like with the amount that people talked about Jet Set Radio, if this comes out and doesn't just sell stupid amounts, then I don't know that I can trust anyone's opinion anymore.
Yeah, that's the one thing, because sometimes where these games come out, it's like the hype is there, and then it launches and it's like, oh, okay, that kind of just didn't get any traction whatsoever, or it's like it just dropped off. Then there's also the fact that there's some reviews as well. Like if it drops and then there's a shit ton of glitches in it or something.
Yeah, true.
Then it's just get a bit of bad reputation. That will eventually affect the whole range of those other Sega games as well over the next 5 years. So they got to consider that. So
see, I want to say no, it won't, but we all know it will.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
If whatever the first one comes out and doesn't, if it gets like some crappy reviews or like, oh, it's got problems, it is going to snowball effect to the rest of them.
Yeah, exactly, because it's like it's a bad representation of it, or a reputation even, and it's just going to keep going from that. And the first game has to be a banger if they're going to be doing it out of these lot. Like, if they say Jet Set Radio, if they launch that first and it is like, is if it pops off and like it's absolutely flawless, you know, for the fact it'd be like, oh, the rest of them are coming out, this is gonna be sick.
Yeah,
but if it is just like glitchy, buggy, like doesn't play well at all, you know, for facts it's gonna be like, oh, the Crazy Taxi's coming out, but it's by the same guys that do this. Like, why is gonna be the exact same thing?
Yeah,
get a reputation, 100%.
I wonder what the release order is gonna be.
Yeah,
obviously for a trailer they put Jet Set Radio first because they know that's got the most hype.
Yeah,
but like, you know, when you're like, but just literally what you just said, like if for example Jet Set Radio was the first one and hypothetically it wasn't performing very well because of issues, then I'm like, oh, you've killed your whole project before it's even like got off the ground.
Yeah, getting brutal. Yeah,
especially because that would be the one that's like the most hype, let's face it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah,
out of these five games I would probably buy four of them. The actually, funny enough, the one I wouldn't is Shinobi, because it's, I really like Shinobi for the PS2 games, not because of the originals.
All right, okay. Yeah,
well for me, because they're like really difficult and I'm not that great at platformers to begin with.
Okay.
It's, yeah, for me I was like, I preferred the PS2 like 3D action games, but I'd be willing to try it at least.
Yeah,
or I'd watch reviews or something.
Yeah, I mean, that's one thing I'd be looking into. The thing is, when all of these games is, I'll be looking into seeing like what they actually look like. Like, even if I haven't played these before, I'm it's generally caught my curiosity. And I want to see where this goes with these. Also, the fact that, like we said, there's going to be more of these coming as well. Sega have said there's more.
Yes.
But, like, you kind of think, like, what ones are they going to be from this? What are the Sega franchises that they can add?
Well, that's the craziest part, is, like, there are some classics, like our time favorite, OutRun.
Yes.
OutRun could come back just without Ferraris.
I think it'd have to be without Ferraris if we're going to do this kind of thing, if it's going to come back, because
modern Ferrari are very controlling on how their brand is presented nowadays.
Yeah.
So I think it would actually benefit to just even go and license something else.
Yeah.
I know people will be disappointed because it's not Ferrari, but like, you don't have to do a supercar thing anymore. You know what I think would actually do really well? And it's kind of what everyone's been doing, is right now everybody is remembering those like Japanese like hero cars from the 90s, right?
Yeah.
All those like drift cars, tuner cars, like just go and license a bunch of those. Do you know what I mean? Like go to Nissan and like license a bunch of, like license out some of those cars. Go to Toyota and license out some of those, like Honda, you know, like just go to some of the big brands and just like,
I don't even think you necessarily have to go to a brand for this kind of game either, though. I think making your own version of cars, and then you look at that and you'd be like, oh, that's a 250 GT or whatever.
Yeah,
you'd be like, oh, that looks like that, but it's not called a 250 GT, it's called something completely different.
Yeah. Or like, oh, that's an amalgam. That's all of the Nissan, the S13 to 15.
Yeah.
Like, there's aspects of that in there, or there's the R chassis or whatever. You could do that and save money, as in, because you're not licensing. But like, for OutRun, if you wanted to come out with a big splash, you could just replace the Ferraris with existing cars that people are hyped for already.
Realistically as well, if you're an OutRun fan, yeah, it sucks that it's not Ferraris anymore, but I play OutRun. I don't play OutRun because it's Ferrari. I play OutRun because the gameplay's fun.
Yeah, same.
I don't play it because I'm a Ferrari fan at all.
I mean, I am a Ferrari fan, but even so, I'm like, no, because the game is just really fun.
Yeah, exactly. That's it, yeah.
I just have a lot of fun running through the same levels again and again and again and getting better at getting through them.
I think it is that kind of thing. I think from their point of view, reviving the OutRun brand, it's always been Ferrari, you see. So it's like, if they did lose that, it's completely like,
I get it, it's like loses part of its identity, but at the same time we have to remember there's only been two OutRun games, like two mainline ones.
Yeah.
The original, which okay, had a Ferrari.
Yeah.
and then 2 or 2SP, which is the ones we play in the arcade, yeah, which has the 3D Ferraris. But I'm like, there's been some other OutRun games, and yes, okay, maybe they're also mainlined. But like, if you think about the actual, there's only two of them.
Yeah.
So you can change that.
I tell you what it feels like. It feels like there's... obviously, like you said, there's only two OutRun games. But like, because there's so many different ways to play OutRun.
Yeah.
Like, there's Coast to Coast on the PS2 and the PSP. There's, obviously the arcade versions, but then you got the arcade versions with the moving car as well.
Yeah, and even those are Ferrari cabs, so...
Yeah, and there's... The thing is, with OutRun 2, is that there's so many different ways to play it, but it's also one of those things that feels like it's been dead for so long. How are there so many ways to play this thing when it's been freaking...
That's true, but at the same time, because of recent history that Sega like pulled out of the whole arcade business, like they don't have to be constrained to the old arcade design either.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, okay, there's still OutRun 2 machines out there. There's still OutRun 1 machines out there. But like, if you made an OutRun 3 or just rebooted, I mean, I would say just reboot by that point.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Leave what's there as a separate thing and then just be like, this is OutRun now, and then put in the new cars, licensed or not, whatever. I think that'd be the best way to do it.
Yeah, agree.
But yeah, like, it's surprisingly on my list, looking at it, I didn't put down the developers or like who owns the franchises, but I do have quite a few like Sega franchises on here.
Yeah.
Like Afterburner. For example, Afterburner is wicked.
Why do I feel like Afterburner like freaking still exists somewhere? I don't know why.
I mean, it's the Sega thing of a lot of these older games were arcade machines that moved and were like super awesome.
Yeah.
But like, do you remember on the 360 we had Afterburner, like the arcade version?
Yeah.
Like the Xbox Live Arcade version. And we like, along with OutRun, you and I like ran through Afterburner quite a lot. Like we played that quite a lot. And it was a cool like shoot 'em up jet fighter game.
Yeah.
I don't know how that would evolve without being compared to Ace Combat though.
This is the one thing. I'm confusing it with Ace Combat. That's why I'm like, I'm looking at my, I swear Afterburner came out and I'm like, no, it's the other thing, isn't it? Yeah.
What were like, I think Ace, what is it? Ace Combat 7 or 8 is the newest one, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's Bandai Namco as well. So yeah.
Yeah. So with Afterburner, I don't know how that would come back. I haven't thought about the design of it really.
Yeah.
Without it being very similar to Ace Combat.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, what else is in here? Like Dead Rising.
Freaking hell.
Is a Sega franchise that I would love to have survived, because like 1, 2, and 3 were amazing, and then they dropped the ball.
Is Dead Rising Sega? Well, it's Capcom, isn't it?
Oh shit, that's Capcom, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh,
But talking about Dead Rising though, it's one of those ones where like it's a fucking the first two are freaking incredible, and then I never actually played 3 or 4.
Oh yeah, because the third one was 3 was Xbox exclusive at the time.
There is a fourth one, isn't there?
Yeah, and it's awful.
I didn't even. That's one thing. I was like, is there even a fourth one? Like, yeah, because Dead Rising 3, I never got to play because I just wasn't on the
3 was really good.
Yeah. Okay.
Really, really good. I played that so much, like. At one point, I played it enough that I could actually do the hard mode run by myself.
Oh, really?
I wouldn't say like, oh, speed running, but like for an average player, it felt like speed running.
Is it that same kind of thing as Dead Rising 2, where there's like different endings you can get as well? Or is it like...
Yeah. So like if you didn't get all the survivors, it's like, oh, you got the normal or bad ending.
Yeah.
Well, the bad ending is you just died.
Yeah.
In typical Dead Rising, you know, bad endings always just you died. Yeah. That was it. And then like, yeah, you got your normal ending where you just sort of like, oh, you survived, but you didn't quite do everything. Then obviously you got your true ending where you did everything. But yeah, I got the true ending just because
completionist as well, yeah.
Well, it's not even that, it's just because you get the true ending, you often end up unlocking some sort of Mega Man Easter egg.
Of course, yeah.
And so, you know, you got the Mega Buster, and then I just started running through the game for fun because the Mega Buster is like the ultimate weapon. You kill everything. Everything dies. Nothing survives.
It's so class. Love that.
It's the best. It's really funny. You just walk down a street, you can clear a whole street. Because Mega Buster, dude.
Because Mega Buster.
Literally, like the normal shots, or as the fans call them, the lemons.
Yeah.
or, you know, the charge shot, and then it's just dead. Even boss fights are super easy on hard mode with it, right?
That's mad.
If you get your shots on, you probably kill most bosses in like 3 or 4 hits.
Fucking crazy. That's one thing that always creeped me the fuck out about Dead Rising as well. Like, some of those bosses just creep me the fuck out, bro.
Yeah, man.
Like, that was it's one of those genuine, like, oh my god, these people are deranged and fucking crazy, like horror movie level shit.
Oh god, I think it's also, now that we moved on to Capcom, because I brain farted, I always mention this.
Mm-hmm.
I want it to come back so bad. I want Power Stone to come back. What an amazing arena fighter game.
What the fuck is Power Stone? Have we talked about this? Are you sure you talked about this before? Because what the...
I've talked about Power Stone before. Maybe not on recording, but like, I've talked about...
You have definitely not... You've never talked to me about this game before.
Power Stones.
How have I never talked to you about Power Stones? I've never even heard about this until you've literally just mentioned it now.
Dude, Power Stones is such a great game. Such a good game.
So you say it's an arena fighter, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so it was like a 3D arena fighter, right? But it was like Smash Bros-esque.
Yeah, yeah.
So you had all these characters, they had all their special moves, but you picked up these Power Stones, and if you got 3 of them, your character transformed. And then they had their super form, and you could do even better attacks.
Okay.
But there was all sorts of like stage hazards, weaponry. There was even boss fights you could do. It was the best. Power Stone 2 is the best.
I'll tell you what, like, just looking at this now, like, this is going to be probably a really like crappy comparison for you in some ways. But there's like a series of One Piece games that are on the PS2 and arguably PS1 as well, which are very similar looking to these, called One Piece Grand Adventure and Grand Battle.
I mean, that would be sort of around the same time, because I think Power Stone was on the Dreamcast.
Yeah, and like it, but immediately looking at this gameplay footage and like all the pictures, it looks exactly like that kind of, and what you've just described about picking up weapons, there's like different stages with different characters on there. The One Piece games were probably like inspired by this. That's what it looked like. Those One Piece games didn't.
I can't believe I must have talked to you about Power Stones before, but like,
you've never mentioned this to me before. Never.
Power Stone, it's honestly, it's one of my like hidden gem franchises that I absolutely gush about. I love. If anyone ever is like, yo, you want to play some Power Stones 2? I'd be like, fuck yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. I fucking love it.
You know, so this is the last, when is the last one out?
They were both on Dreamcast.
They were just freaking out.
Like, I think 1 and 2 were both Dreamcast, and then Power Stone, I think there was a PSP re-release, because I remember playing it on my PSP, but I don't know that it's been re-released ever again.
Freaking hell, of course, like when you type in Power Stone as well, it's the fucking Marvel Cinematic Universe that comes up, and I'm like, why is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so the last one that came out was in 2006 on the PSP.
Okay, yeah, see. So I do, yeah, I remember playing it on my PSP all the time. Like, that was probably the game I played the most. But it's such a shame. Power Stones was so freaking fun.
Oh, it's a collection as well. So that's actually, like, it's not even like a new game. That was just a collection. Okay, fair.
Well, I mean, collection. There was 2 of them, and the PSP was just 1 and 2, but...
Yeah, so exactly, yeah. So it's the 2 games, basically, yeah.
If I remember correctly, because they were both on Dreamcast, like, 1 and 2 came out not too far apart. So, like, the first one came out, and it was, like, pretty good. And then the second one was, like, a more refined version of that.
Mm-hmm.
But they were almost identical games.
Okay.
But they, like, it's just fucking amazing.
Maybe that is one of them that they will revive then. Like, if they've got a few of them. Like, that'd be a mad one to revive if they haven't done this in so long either. Like, would there even be a demand for it? There's probably, like, a cult following for this now at this point, right?
I imagine it would be a cult following, and yeah. I would be the most hype if there was, like, Power Stone coming back, or Power Stone 3. Yeah. I'd be like, what? I would, like, flip my shit, man.
Yeah. And then it turns out that they have all stretchy arms, and it's a real fight like that. You have to use the Joy-Cons to fight. It's like boxing.
I just, in my head, I'm like, you're saying all of that, and it's that meme, you know, people ask you, are you okay? And you just have to pretend that you are, but you're not really okay.
Nathan's just crying in the corner right now.
Oh man.
Yeah. But yeah, like just looking at this list you sent over to me though. Like, obviously, like we were talking about some Sega games. But like looking through this, I've noticed that House of the Dead is on there.
Yes.
That's like, I'm trying to think when the last House of the Dead game was out. But that feels like.
Well, they re-released the first one on Switch. Like last year.
They have, yeah, there's a collection. Yeah, yeah.
But when I put it on the list, I meant like, I want it back. Not re-releases.
Mm. You want it like, actually, yeah.
The last new House of the Dead I played was in an arcade in Japan when I went the first time in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, I knew it was new because I'd never seen this machine before.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like a really big cabinet, like, and it was at Joypolis in Odaiba.
Yeah.
But you had to line up. So you sit in it, right?
Yeah.
And you've got your normal setup, but there's actually a screen in front of you and behind you. So like at some point, your seat like spins around and now you're facing the other way and you got like shoot behind you. And it spins around again and you're shooting in front of you.
Okay, that sounds quite sick.
That one was like a big attraction.
Yeah.
But I just want House of the Dead to come back.
Because that is, like, it's one of those ones where, like, those, like, kind of, it's a light gun game, right? Basically, that's how you describe it. Yeah, yeah.
I just want more light gun games. I miss them. I love them.
I'm kind of surprised that there aren't more, to be honest. Like, it's one of those ones, like, everyone loves a light gun game, especially in the arcade. And realistically, the Wii was perfect for it.
Yeah, and the Switch still has the same capability, so you can still do it.
Have you got the House of the Dead games on the Switch at all?
No, I didn't. I do want to, but I watched the Game Grumps play it, and it's a bit easy.
Yeah.
Because you can actually set reload to a button.
Okay, yeah.
So you can just fire a single bullet and reload. So you can just, like, mash these buttons. You would never run out of ammo.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
It's kind of like, that ruined the fun of it.
It's a way to just do it. Yeah, okay, fair.
I mean, it. You know, people have fun their own way. And it was a funny video to watch because they were just doing that. But, yeah. If you're trying to play it, for example, it's like,
yeah. Yeah, that's for sure. What else you got on this list here?
I've got so many games. I mean, there's one.
You've got a lot here.
It's a decent sized list. There's definitely one I want to talk to Pepe about.
Yeah.
And we've talked about this before.
Mm-hmm.
But I want a revival of the Naruto Ultimate Ninja series.
Absolutely. Look, this is the one thing, right? Everyone just like piled on the Naruto Storm games because they were like the first one was on PS3 and looked really nice, and then they just kept pushing about because okay, yeah, these Storm games. And eventually, like by the year 2015, I think is when Naruto Storm 4 launched. That was like when the whole series basically ended. I'm sure it's either 2015 or 2016, Naruto Storm 4.
I don't remember.
I think it is because I'm 100% sure that's the day, that's this year at least. But like that game franchise, like that series of games went on for ages, right? So that was like probably from 2008, 2007 to like 20. Well, even now, you've got connections out. You have connections out right now.
Well, it also feels even longer because like all the other games copied and went Arena Fighter.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you had like J-Stars, you had like all these other ones, yeah.
It feels like it's been around forever.
This all started from freaking Naruto Ultimate Ninja, which was like launched on the PS2.
Oh, so good.
Had a roster of like about, like, I don't know, it was like 12 characters or something like that. Something, a really tiny roster of characters. And then it, like number 2 came out and they expanded the roster so much. It's like, oh, this is cool. And then 3 came out. 3 like expand that roster so freaking much as well.
How many did they have in the end of Ultimate Ninja?
Oh, I reckon it must have been,
I think the last one I remember seeing is like a 6, maybe.
I remember I had 4, which is going into the Shippuden arc. I think 5 launched as well, but the thing is, they had the Ultimate Ninja games, but then they had the PSP ones as well.
Oh, yeah, what was that, like Ultimate Ninja Hero or something?
Yeah, so which were basically the Storm games, but on PSP.
They were just as good.
They, the last one, I think it was Heroes 3, I think it was, which was in, it went into Shippuden, and it had, like, it was just before all the pain stuff happened.
Oh, okay.
So like you had them as characters, but it wasn't like a whole, it wasn't a lot. I think it was even before Sage Mode Naruto.
Wow.
I think, anyway, don't quote me on that. I feel like that was it.
Either way, like the Ultimate Ninja games were amazing because they were really good, like, they were 3D, but they were 2D fighters.
Yes.
But, like, do you remember, like, at least in the first one and the second one, like, if you wanted to do a jutsu, it was, like, putting in old cheat codes. You remember, like, it would have, like, yeah, the bottom combos come down and you'd have to mash that as quickly as possible if you wanted to pull off your move.
The thing is about those games as well is that, like, the Storm games feel very, like, polished and very, like, kind of, like, they look nice, basically. But with those games, there was something about them where they had, like, a specific art style.
Yeah, it was almost cel-shaded.
Yeah, like, cel-shaded manga-esque kind of thing, where it's, like, you got the lines on the, like, face and all those kind of stuff. Like, there's...
Yeah, it felt, like, ripped straight out of the manga or the anime. Like, it was good.
It looked really freaking cool. And I remember playing the first one at, what was it? At Comic-Con, actually, at MCM, they had a demo there.
Oh.
And I was like, oh my god, this is the Naruto game. And it, like, that was my first experience of, like, that 3D PS2 Naruto game. It was so freaking cool. And having that 2D style, we just need that back. We need those 2D, like, anime fighters back, where it's, like, 2D kind of, like...
I mean, we've mentioned it many times.
Yeah.
Not just that. We just need the anime games to expand again, man. Yeah. We don't need fucking all the 3D arena fighters anymore. Like, can we do other things?
We're exhausted on the arena fighters, absolutely exhausted on it. And it's like, let's go for something different. Let's actually have something that's similar to... That's why Fighters was such a, like, breath of fresh air.
Yeah,
because it was like, this is a completely different kind of, like,
Fighters. And, like, that's why I also like Kakarot. I know a lot of people don't like Kakarot because they're like, oh, it's boring or whatever as well. But I'm like, it's different. Right, we got the RPG, like, 3D open world thing. I was like, it's different.
I mean, you need that for, like, a Dragon Ball game as well, because, like, realistically, there's been so many Dragon Ball games. You can't just keep going down the same avenue for each one.
Yeah.
Like, they've done the 2D fighters with Budokai. They've done the 3D fighters with, like, Tenkaichi. You got various versions of, like, Raging Blast, Battler Z, Xenoverse. There's so many of these things.
What's the new one? Sparking... something, basically Tenkaichi 4.
Yeah, Sparkling. It's I'm excited to play that because of...
Sparking Zero, like, I'm excited for that, don't get me wrong, but again, it is just like, you know, it's because it's gonna probably be different.
The only reason why I have hype for it is because, like, it's that return to that Tenkaichi 4 place that I haven't played that in ages, so I don't mind going back to that. But you're right, it's like, okay, it's going back to that old form. What else of forms can we do? They've done RPGs, they've done all sorts of Dragon Ball games.
Like, yeah,
where is, what can you do next with it? And realistically, the Tenkaichi games are people's favorite as well. It's a weird one because they're not my favorite. Like, we talked about our favorites, like, all the freaking time.
Did we ever get a Naruto Warriors game?
No, we never did. Well, actually, there was a Naruto Warriors S game, which was on the PS Vita. No, it wasn't the PS Vita. No, it was on the PSP. It was, what was it called?
Because I was just thinking, like, you know, thinking about, oh, what could we do with other, like, anime games and different styles? And I was like, Naruto would actually work for a Warriors style game.
So, there is one. It's called Naruto Shippuden Ultimate Ninja Impact.
Doesn't ring a bell.
Yeah, it came out quite late into the PSP's life cycle for us. But you could probably just look at, like, I'm going to show you right here, Nathan, like, a thing, this screenshot here. You know what I mean? It's,
oh, okay.
It's got, like, the map on the side. You, like, you got the multiple enemies flying around and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
It's got, like, health bars. I never played this game, but I assume it's, like... Oh, is it actually? It's a weird one. It looks like a Warriors kind of game.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like it, but I mean, like, an actual, like, Warriors game.
Nah, yeah.
Based on Naruto, like, I think it would work, because you can have just generic, like, oh, they're generic ninjas from another village.
Oh, yeah, easy, couldn't you? Yeah, it's a very easy one to do.
And you could just have waves of them, or you could just be like, oh, there's Zetsu for some reason.
Zetsu's, yeah, there's all sorts you can do with it. Like, considering we've had a Dragon Ball one, we've had a Bleach one, we had various One Piece ones.
Yeah.
It's one that's, it's like, it is kind of a no-brainer.
I'm just kind of surprised it hasn't happened.
What were the ones that were on PS2? The, Chronicles. Was it Chronicles?
Oh, I suppose kind of, but not really.
But they don't feel like Warriors games. They're not Warriors games.
No, it wasn't a Warriors game, but it was kind of like...
Yeah,
I see what you mean, but it wasn't. No, it wasn't.
No, it wasn't. No, it really wasn't.
I would have said Chronicles is closer to Kakarot than it is to a Warriors game.
Yeah, I'd say it also gives off like a kind of like same thing as the One Piece like unlimited adventure games as well, where it's like you're running around, there's enemies that pop up every now and you beat them and then move on to next area.
Yeah, it's more like that kind of style than a Warriors game. Like, I'm just surprised we haven't had a straight up Warriors game for Naruto. It would work.
I think that's one thing I'd love to see for like Naruto and any other anime game as well. Just seeing like a kind like the Warriors style. We've done One Piece already. One Piece is like it's caught up as far as it can go. They've had the DLC now as well. Let's do a Warriors game for other anime franchises, like the Naruto one, for example, or like
We had like Berserk.
Didn't it? Yeah. What was it? There's a
Band of the Hawk or something.
Yeah, I think so. I never played it, so I played it once and it was around like Sam's house. Yeah,
yeah, I played it once. Yeah, at Wilders as well.
That's what it was.
We were probably there at the same day.
It was absolutely the same day because he bought it, and then we were like, okay.
Yeah, and then we went around and he's like, oh yeah, this is great. And I was like, I've read two chapters of Berserk.
Because there's another one from the creator of Full Metal Alchemist as well called Legend of Arslan.
Oh, okay.
And that got like a kind of Warriors-esque game, but it was like weirdly like broken and kind of stupid. So didn't do that well.
Fair. I mean, I just looking at the time, it's we could be talking for ages.
Mm.
But is there any other franchises that you would want to discuss?
Right. Okay. So I don't know if we have discussed this before on recording, but it's actually kind of one that like I've seen that you've had on your list here. It's the Pokemon Stadium games.
Okay.
But I would like to see the Colosseum and XD Gale of Darkness as a reboot, but like it obviously newer, but with the Shadow Pokemon things, because obviously we've got Pokemon games like Sword and Shield and Scarlet and Violet, which is you're running around catching Pokemon, it's cool. But like these felt like proper like RPGs. These games felt so different to the Pokemon mainline games. And I'd like to see a somewhat return to form for these. Like if they're ever gonna bring anything like this back again, I reckon they'll probably just do a HD remake of these games.
Yeah, and that would be good, but I see what you mean, like a reboot or a revival of that style would be, and it could be valid considering like we've got the Legend, well, I say Legends as if there's more than one game in it.
Yeah.
But like Legends Arceus was amazing.
Yes.
And it does show that people are clamoring, well, maybe not clamoring, but like people want different things and different gameplay styles from the Pokemon franchise.
Yeah.
And you're not the first person to tell me this about Colosseum, like, oh, well, like, why can we not have more Colosseum style games?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd be interested. I only ever played a tiny bit of Colosseum.
The thing is with those two games, XD and Colosseum, is that going back to them now, the pacing is ridiculously slow on them. Like, it is borderline, in my opinion, unplayable.
Wow.
No, not unplayable. It's not, no, maybe that's a bit harsh, but my God, the speed of these games is so freaking slow. And it is, I don't know what it is about. And it's like, I think it's because on the GameCube as well, they wanted to make these things like a little bit more, these games are a bit more monotone compared to the bright and colorful mainline games. So even when you go to a sunshine like kind of city, it's like this thing still feels very like gritty-esque. Because they're going for a different direction. It was good, though. I have very fond memories of Colosseum, and I only played a little bit of Gale of Darkness. But, getting these as a reboot or something would be freaking class. I'd love that. Just make the tweaks. They need to make the tweaks because you can't.
I'd also, to add on to that, like, again, I've only played a very minute amount of Colosseum, but I've watched lots of videos and stuff, and people often say like catching shadow Pokemon or getting shadow Pokemon is actually a massive pain in the ass as well. Some of them you only have the one chance.
Yep.
And it's almost impossible. So like I think if they did a reboot, I would like to see it maybe a little more accessible in that sense.
Yes, it just needs it just needs like bringing into the freaking like modern gaming.
I'm not saying, you know, like, oh, put every Pokemon as a shadow Pokemon. No. Don't need to do that. But like, maybe just make it more like the normal games, like the mainline games, you know, like the catch rates, make them like the normal games.
Yeah.
It should be fine, right?
I think like the joy of those shadow Pokemon in Colosseum and XD was the fact that like they'd come around every so often, and it's like collecting your character in an RPG, like a new character joins your party. That's what it was. It's like, oh my god, this person has a shadow Pokemon, I want to like add this person in.
Yeah.
And that's what it wasn't like, oh, you walk around the grass and getting all these various Pokemon to catch rates. That's what it felt like. It very special to find a shadow Pokemon and have it on your team. So that was the joy with those games, and like just having them back would be so freaking class.
I'd be down.
They're different from the stadium games, even though it still incorporated those features into it.
Yeah.
But imagine if they had like a modern stadium game. But you know, like where like it has every single Pokemon in it.
Yeah.
But they all have their set moves. Like you have, like, you know, when you have the custom loadout, like you only have that one move set, and it's just you picking out your party from all of these random Pokemon, and you just get like.
I feel that's the only way a stadium could come back, though, is like it would basically be Nintendo making their own version of basically Pokemon Showdown.
It is literally that.
Basically their battle simulator, and it's like, I don't know how much that would actually sell.
I don't think it would sell that, but yeah.
I don't think it would either. The draw to like a Pokemon Stadium is the mini games, and I'm kind of like, maybe I don't want the Pokemon Stadium, maybe I just want a Pokemon version of WarioWare.
I wouldn't be against that at all. I'd love a Pokemon, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, a Pokemon like mini game compilation thing is probably what I want.
You want like a Pokemon Mario Party, basically, is what you're like.
Yeah, but minus the board. Just the games. I don't need that other shit.
It's so freaking random. That basically what you've pitched is like a Pokemon skin of the Mario Party 100 game that they released on the 3DS, which absolutely everyone hated.
I mean, yes, but...
But you want it with a Pokemon skin is the thing you've just said.
That's why I said Pokemon WarioWare instead. Because that's fun.
But you're still picturing the concept of Pokemon Stadium 1 and 2's minigames, which are basically like Mario Party minigames, is what you've said. But
yeah, but I don't want the whole like...
Nathan, you're probably going to be the only one that's going to buy it. I understand you love these minigames, but it's something that Mario Party already offers. And there's a board and there's a fully fleshed game with more mini games as well.
I never said I thought this stuff through. I just noted down the franchises I wanted to come back, right? Just because I got a game design degree doesn't mean I used it. Doesn't mean I used it in this instance, okay? A lot of this stuff is like off the top of my head.
It just needs to think a bit more. I want to just give a shout out to another game quick, because at the time of recording, they're throwing these games on the Nintendo Switch Online. It's the Golden Sun games.
Oh, yes, 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 yes.
I'm surprised that there hasn't been another one, I'd say. Like obviously they had a DS one, but like considering these at one point were some of Nintendo's biggest games on the Game Boy Advance and all the handhelds, why hasn't there been another one? Also, I know we've that's one thing, so I'm immediate diverging. Another Kid Icarus game. I want another one.
I haven't played it, so I can't speak. Well, I actually haven't played Golden Sun either, so I can't speak to any of these games.
If I had the choice out of these two, I actually think I would prefer another Kid Icarus, because the 3DS one was really freaking good. It's just a shame it was on the 3DS, because there wasn't like a kind of another stick, basically.
There was, if you bought the attachment.
Yeah, but why? It's so bulky.
I had it for Monster Hunter.
Yeah, you did. And like a Kid Icarus on Switch would be so freaking cool. I'd be so down for it.
What about that same Kid Icarus on Switch?
I'd be down for that as well, because it's been like over 10 years since it released. And I haven't played it since like... Wait, it was 2012, wasn't it? It released in 2012. It wasn't a 2013 game, it was a 2012 game.
Yeah.
It's been well over 10 years. And like I think anyone that played that original game would be more than happy to see that come back on, like get some love again. As well, Sakurai has said he's doing another project as well. He's quitting his YouTube channel and he's doing more game stuff. So I can see the look on your face, Dave. It's not Smash. I'm pretty sure it's not going to be Smash.
I don't think it will. I honestly, if there's another Smash, which I don't think there needs to be by this point.
No.
I don't think he would even come back.
I think it as well, like, this is the one thing with Smash Ultimate. It is like, we're not getting another Smash game for like another like 10 years at least, if we are going to get one. And even then, I reckon it'll be a reboot. There's no way in hell that's going to be, we're expanding upon that roster. They're going to cut that roster down and they go, like, revamp the moves. That's what I reckon would happen with a Smash game.
Fair enough. There are so many other game franchises that we didn't even get to. Like, I genuinely sent Pepe, like, a pretty big list, and I think we've only picked out maybe 4.
Yeah. We've got to do, like, we'll probably do pick up on this another day as well. There's got to be more that we can talk about, 100%.
I mean, I'd be down to do it again, because, like, I'm always just interested to see what other people would want from a game franchise, and sort of like other people's idea of like what the game would be.
Yeah,
that's why I got my degree, was because, like, you know, I am interested in like game design. So yeah. It's like, how would someone else design this? Like, what's their idea? What would they create if they had control of this thing? I just always find that interesting. But yeah.
We are bringing this episode to a close right here. So thank you guys for listening. Remember, again, like, we have our links to our podcast and our X. And we will see you next time for another Cultured Boys episode. Bye-bye.
Bye.